Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into the Misericordia University Alumni Podcast. I am your host, Class of 2017 and 2019 alumnus, Mike Gambita. Today on the show, we are featuring a postcard profile. Ladies and gentlemen, and alumni of Misericordia, please welcome 2012 and 2014 alumna, Natasha Hastings. Natasha, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Mike. I'm happy to be on your show.
We're so excited to have you on the show today. We're almost going cross country a little bit from your current area, but it's exciting to have you on the show. Natasha, let's just jump right into it. What have you been up to since you have graduated from Misericordia?
Oh, I've been up to quite a lot, but as soon as I graduated college, I joined on a travel contract shortly after that, and that took me to Raleigh, North Carolina, which I was very thankful for because I had family down there, and got my toes wet working in orthopedic outpatient. And then I was quickly, literally a Wednesday, they told me, hey, your contract is done here. You're moving to DC next week. I was like, okay. So that's kind of a pitfall of traveling. You have to be open to just pick up and leave. So I went to DC, did some outpatient PT there, and then met my now husband there. So I decided to stay on for 4 years. And I got tired of DC and visited some friends out in California and decided to make the move. I said, well, I'm moving here in a year. Like, and that's what happened. So I've been out in San Diego since 2017. And I worked for a big corporate physician-owned company here, which was nice because you get the nice salary, the cushy benefits. But after a while, and it's very popular in the PT world where it's called a mill, where you're just, patients are a number. Like I was seeing between 70 and 85 patients a week, overseeing a large clinic, patient care got lost. And I said, I'm done with this. I'm going to branch out and start my own business, which I started out small. I was working full time and seeing patients before and after work. And then my personal business built up that I was able to branch off into part time. And then last October, I went 100% full on my business, which I'm running now, which is great. And I love it. I would never make a, like, go back and change it.
That's really cool. And we're going to get a little bit more into detail about your now own business. But obviously being in the world of physical therapy, I'm sure there obviously is a need, for that world. But I always want to ask our alumni, what made you want to get into the major, or in this case, what made you want to get into physical therapy?
So I was always an athlete since the age of 6, between soccer, basketball, tennis, and I knew I wanted to do something with that. But honestly, like when I was a teenager, I really didn't know what I wanted to be. I was a rambunctious teenager running around with people that I can't say today that they're doing as well. So physical therapy, like I observed somebody one day and I was like, oh, this is cool. And I thought, all right, I have to do this. This is my only option. Like, or I don't know what else I'm going to do in life. So physical therapy was kind of my way out. And when I went to school, I remember Dr. Sue Barker gave our first like intro PT class, and there was probably 65 of us sitting there. And she said, you know, not all of you are going to be sitting here. This is a hard, hard course. And so from that day forward, I was like, I am not failing. Failing is not an option. So what got me into PT was, yeah, I like sports and athletics, but it seemed like a promising career. So I went right into it 200%.
I think based on the amount of years, I should say, that a physical therapist, I guess, embarks, the best word to describe it, has that opportunity to kind of really, I don't want to say find themselves, but really challenge themselves to a really great potential. And I'm sure we'll cover more of that once we get into the whole, how'd Misericordia get to where you are today? But mm-hmm. Natasha, of course, just the way that we found you, obviously, based on the reason being on the show today, was talking about your full-time business. So not to boast or brag about you, I'm sure it's nice that someone else is saying it, but your hefty credentials of a doctor of physical therapy, a certified strength and conditioning specialist, and a CrossFit level 1 trainer. Mm-hmm. I am not, I don't want to say I'm not into any of those. I'm more CrossFit kind of worries me a little bit, but let's talk about your business now. Like, especially during a pandemic, it was probably really challenging for you to start a business and to try to grow from the business, but kind of talk to me about your journey from, you know, when you first opened those, cliche doors to your business of starting it.
Yeah. So like I said, it was hard because I was working before a full-time job and after working weekends. Like, I set up a tent on the beach. There's, in the beaches here, they have volleyball, just teams all the time. So I was just sitting there like, hey, free PT screenings. I wrote on a big poster board. I was like, I don't know how to start this. So I just was setting up tents everywhere. And word started to catch on. I can't say I got too much from that, but I just kept interjecting myself in every little community I wanted to be in. And then I was working part-time in March. I said, all right, I'm putting my notice in. I'm going all out on me. So March, I put my 3 weeks notice in. And I think a week later, COVID was like, uh-oh, we're shutting everything down. And I said, okay, thank God I still have this one part-time job that I would work once in a while. But again, I had this mindset, like, there's no option of sinking. Like, when I went into physical therapy, I was like, there's no option of failing. Like, you're going to make it. And I think a lot of people, you either sank or swam during COVID, and you had to be super creative. Luckily, all my clients were able to convert to virtual. And then I was working out of this small gym, and they put paper on the front windows. So it was like a speakeasy gym, which everybody was doing here. And I would tell my patients, just come in the back door and I'll see you there, because technically physical therapy was still essential, but I'm in a gym setting. So it was like, right. I don't know what to do here. So I went against the grain and saw patients, of course, following COVID protocols. And I grew a lot during COVID. It was good. It was a good struggle.
Yeah. Now, obviously you went to school for physical therapy, but speaking about your business, I'm curious to see, coming from a, I don't want to say a health science, but more of a health profession, what were some of the unique challenges you had as far as opening the business? So you are, as I'm correct, you are the owner of your own business. Mm-hmm. So yeah. What's been some of the unique challenges outside of your own profession?
I never took a business course in Misericordia. I wish I would have minored in business, but now that it's becoming, I think it's more popular now for PTs to come right out of school and start their own business. Thanks to social media, people are just blasting this stuff. So it was definitely a challenge to just think business. I'm not good at math at all. I don't know how to sales and market. I know how to do PT and that's it. So that was a big challenge. So I'm a cash based. I don't take insurance.
Okay.
And that's pretty, that some people are like, nope, I don't want to go to an insurance place. I've been to those places. They're like Mills. I am ready to pay cash. So I love those people. Then there's people who call me and their first question is, do you take insurance? So there I have to become not like a car salesman, but it's very challenging to try and show people like cash based is better because you get that one-on-one care for 60 minutes. And sometimes I'll go into a spiel like, you have no problem paying a massage therapist an hour, 90 minutes, this much money. Like, you can pay a personal trainer cash. That's not reimbursed. When you pay insurance, insurance is picking and choosing what you can get treated. When you come to me, say you have a neck, a knee, and a foot problem, I can treat it all. Insurance will be like, nope, we can only treat the neck because that's what your doctor said. So I would have to, you know, it's a tricky sales game.
Yeah.
So those are my biggest.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Sales is certainly a challenge amongst all. Sales is, yeah. As I've realized, sales is not something you can learn from a book. It takes practice.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Now talk to me about some of your other like certifications, like your strength and conditioning, CrossFit. Like, what made you want to do that? Was there any influence behind that?
Right. So when I've always been into sports and lifting. I've definitely got into more functional training in the past couple of years. So when I started my business, I said, all right, how do I get the strength and conditioning community and CrossFit community to even notice me to treat them? Because they're their own family and breed of people, and they don't want to go to somebody wearing khakis and an uptight polo. They're like, dude, you don't do what I do. How are you going to teach me how to snatch? How are you going to hear my shoulder. You don't even know what a snatch is. Mm-hmm. So I went and I was like, all right, I'm going to get these certifications just so people wouldn't be like, all right, she knows, she must know what she's talking about. But I've learned that it's not just that, like you have to immerse yourself. So I've joined a CrossFit gym. I rent space out of a functional training facility. So I got the certifications because I wanted to learn more, but to show my community that I'm going after, like, I know what you're talking about.
Gotcha. It seems as though a lot of your aspirations, I should say, are goal-based. What has been some of the biggest, I know you're very, very small in the whole business world as of now, but what's been some of your successes and, you know, quite frankly, if you're able to share, like, what are some of your failures that you're able to share from just this whole business and this overall adventure that you're taking on?
Yeah. So successes financially, like the first year I was in business, and I think everybody is the same. I was negative. I didn't know what I was doing. And then last year I grossed more than I did ever at a corporate job, which I was like, damn, busting your ass definitely pays off. But, and then failures, I actually just like kind of recently, some people want you to heal them. You know, they're paying cash. They're like, you better heal me in two visits. And so I had a patient leave me because I couldn't heal him in three visits and went to another specialist. But I've learned, you know, that person may be jumping from position to position. Cause when you have a problem for a year, it's really hard for anybody to fix you in three visits. Like, so I think that's one of my failures. And, you know, I'm just living and learning too. Accounting, taxes, that was a big surprise. Oh, okay, you know, you all these taxes now that you own your own business. So I'm learning.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you and I, Natasha, can understand that if you're not learning something new, then something's wrong. So I think it's
right.
You're embracing that as a whole. Now, Natasha, I know, again, we're playing this micro to macro, small starts, but big dreams. Where are you looking to see this your own personal business go?
So ideally, my 5-year plan, I maybe in 3 years, I want to have my own brick and mortar.
Okay.
Like a big 2,000 to 3,000 square foot warehouse facility. A functional training facility where I have other PTs working under me and a strength coach or two as well, where I'm actually not even treating that much. I'm doing more of the back end work, and I have employees working for me, and I have a running business that works for me. So I can come back east and visit family and not worry about the business. But I want to have a physical therapy / strength training business that people actually enjoy. Like, I don't ever want to put somebody in the position that I was for 7 years, like hating my job. I kind of liked it. Like, I liked it when I would have some patients like, oh wow, that feels better. But I hated working in a mill, and people, and that's another thing with insurance. I'm just going to say, I'll be like, why do you want to come to physical therapy? They're like, I don't know. My doctor told me to come here and my insurance pays for it. Okay. Clearly you don't care about your health that much. So When you pay cash, you care about your health. So I want my employees to really love their job and love the atmosphere. And so 5 years, my own facility in San Diego.
That sounds like a great goal to have.
Yeah.
I think the craziest thing, Natasha, we did not mention yet is the official name of your business. And I'm curious to know. So the business is Athletic Edge Physical Therapy, correct?
Correct.
So always the question that I always like to ask those who own or start the business, what made you decide to name it the Athletic Edge Physical Therapy?
Yeah, I remember I was at work and I was working with a PTA, and I would always ask people, I'd be like, what should I name my business? I went and they're like, well, who do you want to attract? I said athletes. And I remember I came up with competitive edge, competitive, like I was just Googling synonyms, words with athlete and performance. And there's so many places called maximum performance, hybrid performance. And there's actually an Athletic Edge Physical Therapy in Massachusetts. But when you're so far away and you're not, like clearly I'm not going to steal his clients. Like you can have that name.
Okay.
So my coworker wrote down, what about Athletic Edge? And I said, ooh, that resonates. So I took it, and it definitely helps because I get a lot of referrals from Google from athletes like seeing a name of something they do. Yeah.
Interesting. It's so crazy. Some are very personal, and then others are just more so the gauntlet of trying to figure out what the heck you want. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that directly drives your business and being able to do that. Now, Natasha, I've heard from some sources here on campus that you've served as a mentor to some students, but also too, there's been some mentoring aspect going on and maybe some aspirations that you'd like to participate in. So Natasha, kind of talk to me about that experience and, you know, what do you hope to achieve as far as that aspect?
Yeah, I really love and appreciate the people reaching out to me from Misericordia, especially, and then I'll have some people reach out to me like close by here, but some people will just message me on Instagram or Facebook Messenger asking me, you know, what systems do you use or how exactly do you go about this? And one of my good friends, she went to Misericordia too, Jessica. She was Jessica Massimino, but now she's Jess Shelton. She is the same realm of PT. I do cash-based gym, and she saw I started mine. She started asking me, and I gave her all these little tidbits of info and referred her to my business coaching group that I'm in. And she just started her own LLC, and she's going to start slowly dwindling down her full-time to part-time and then going full-time in her business. So, cool. And then my other friend, not physical therapy, but she saw that I did mine, and she's very talented with macrame and art. And I said, you should definitely like make this a business. And now she has a business and she's on Etsy. So I never thought I would influence people like that, but it's so heartwarming when people reach out to me. I love it.
That's really cool. Now, while we're kind of in the realm of alumni with our alumni listenership, kind of a fun question, a fun curveball question to ask is, like you said before, when you started out, you were a travel physical therapist, and now you are opened up your business, and now you're going on the first couple years strong. What would you tell? Here's the fun question. What would you tell traveling physical therapist Natasha as you are the business owner now?
Yeah.
Maybe what's some advice that you would give to travel Natasha?
So I think about this often, because now when I listen to podcasts of successful PTs that I want to be like, when they were traveling or even in college, they were hanging out with PTs. They wanted to be like, they were hanging out at CrossFit gyms. They were putting in this extra work on the weekends, where I was like, nope, I'm done. I'm going to go party. I'm going to go do my thing. And I would have, if I could reverse time, I definitely would have done more delving into PTs around the area, like a gym PT, or even starting CrossFit earlier. Like, I wish I would have put more time and even back then, I didn't know. I had no idea I want to own a business. So I wish Natasha then knew you're going to own a business.
Well, I feel like everything happens for a reason. So exactly. I think
I had a great time. I went to festivals. I met lots of people. So I wouldn't reverse it at all.
It's always a fun question to ask. Now, Natasha, you did mention a little bit about some of your Misericordia experience, but the next question I would like to ask you is, how has Misericordia helped you to get where you are today?
Yeah, so like I said, that first class with Dr. Barker, I remember sitting there and I kind of was like, oh, okay, I didn't know PT was this in depth. But she also owned the room like a badass. And I looked at her and I said, she is a badass. I'm going to be like in control like that. So from the first day, I was 120% committed. And then also Maureen Pascal, I was fine graduating with my master's. I could have just been grandfathered in, but she really encouraged me to go for my doctorate. Because it is, I've noticed, and I've asked patients like, hey, if I didn't have my doctorate and had my master's, would that influence your opinion? And they're like, 100%. Hmm. So I'm really happy I listened to her. And I mean, I was even thinking about Misericordia when I was a junior in high school. So I have to give ode to my mom for pushing me to go. She's like, you just got to go there, really apply yourself. So she helped me get on the right path for that. And then when I was in Misericordia, I played lacrosse for 3 years there. So it helped me develop. I've already had like a team mindset ever since I was a kid, but I just formed even tighter knit bonds there. And Now I like to mention that I played lacrosse in college. So that gives me an edge with possible athletic clients here. They're like, oh, you played a sport in college. You played lacrosse. Like, I want to go see you as a PT. Mm-hmm. So definitely opened up a lot of opportunities for me there.
I've never asked, well, more so the, I guess the, I don't want to say a decade, but more so the 2012 or 2014 realm. How was your, I mean, I know like 2012 was your graduation for undergrad, but how was your lacrosse experience as a whole?
I honestly never saw a game before I went to Misericordia. I always played sports, but like Dallas wasn't big for lacrosse at all. And then I went there and they said, hey, do you want to come play? And I said, I don't think you want me. They said, you're athletic. You'll pick it up. So like everything, I went 110% in and I practiced outside of practice. I was like, damn it, I can't be bad at this. I'm going to be good. So it was fun. Like, we didn't win a lot of games, but it was just fun to continue playing sports after high school. And then I loved it so much after college when I lived in DC, I played on a women's beer league. So I was able to play women's post-collegiate lacrosse and make some friends there. So it definitely helped me navigate new waters.
I don't think there isn't ever a chance to turn down sports and beer. So yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. Now, Natasha, I know you mentioned some people as you're going through, but this is usually the opportunity in the show where I always leave it to the floor to our guest as far as if they would like to give a shout out to a particular individual or individuals that they've kept in touch with since graduating from Misericordia. So the floor is yours based on that shout out section there.
Okay. So first, my mom, Stephanie Wensock. Oh, yeah.
Go, Stephanie.
Yeah, everyone loves her. I would have to give a shout out to Dr. Barker, Maureen Pascal, Stephen Woody. I don't know if Dr. Saladino still works there. Charles Saladino. He was chemistry.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Time of this recording, I have to follow up, so I'll let you know.
No, he definitely, so before you go into your grad classes, you have to pass all these weeding classes, and I was in chem, organic chem, and it just kind of had me dizzy, and he helped me so much, and if I couldn't get through that, I don't know if I would have got into grad classes. And then Coach Robin Stahovic, is she still there?
She's still there.
Yeah, she's awesome. Love her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually just got off the phone with her today for a phone call. So,
did you?
Yeah, I did.
She was cool. I really appreciate all her coaching and mentorship during lacrosse. And she had an assistant coach. I forget her name. I don't know if she's still there, though.
Okay.
But yeah, so all my professors and my mom, and I don't have any friends there that go there currently.
Well,
yeah, I'm a little bit older, but I do keep in touch with, I would say 50% of my graduating class. Like, they are tighter with me than my high school friends. Mm-hmm. I've been in their weddings. They've been in my wedding, one wedding.
Yeah, no, it's cool because I have experienced myself with a group of friends. I'm sure with going into undergrad and then going to your doctorate, just skipping that over. You know, you've experienced a set of classmates for your undergrad, but then you are really set based on that group of doctoral students. And you're literally with each other every single day. You're in long classes. You're all together. I'm not surprised that invitations to weddings have been passed around and have circulated and reciprocated.
Yeah. My DPT class and my lacrosse class, I mean, lacrosse team. I'm actually the one girl from Misericordia, she's getting married in June. So I'm heading back to Long Island for that.
Cool.
So it's so nice. And I hope Misericordia, I think they're going to do an alumni lacrosse game. I would love to come back for that.
Yeah. If I can. Definitely some opportunities will come through, you know, hopefully by the time COVID is a little bit more settled and, you know, it's always fun bringing back alumni, whether that's homecoming or just some of our local events. But Natasha, anything to wrap up our podcast for today? Any words of advice, any shout outs? The last few minutes are for you, my friend.
Yeah, no, I think we covered a lot of it. Let me see in my little thing here.
It's always nice preparing before a show.
Yeah. No, I gave everybody my shout outs. I'm good.
Great. And I'm great too, and it's been great to finally get to meet the person who has always been talking about you all the time. So yeah, it is your mom. there was, I guess, you know, like with TV shows and whatnot, there's always this I don't want to call it this pre-show, but it's always like the celebrities and like the hosts of the TV show, you don't get to talk to the host first. You actually get talked by somebody first, then you get talked to the host, because then they know the answers behind everything. But this is a no holds bars. We just throw everything down and we hope for the best. So
yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
Well, Natasha, it's been so great to have you on the podcast, and good luck with your business and good luck with all the endeavors that you have may coming to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mike. I really enjoyed this.